to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. The title of this message, The Race of Faith. The Race of Faith. Now, in chapter 11, the Apostle having given us an extensive list of those believers who went before us, whose faith is an example to us. Now, all of these people that are listed here in Hebrews chapter 11, what we call the Hall of Faith, these men that he are presenting here, every one of them manifest a different aspect of true saving faith. Faith. The faith of Abel looked to the offering of Christ. Enoch's faith testified of the necessity of faith, that without faith it is impossible to please God. Noah's faith reveals that every one of us must flee to Christ for refuge. Abraham's faith trusted in God's Word regardless of human reasoning, offering up his only son, leaving his home, his family, simply based on the Word of God. That's an example of true faith. True faith endures even unto death. In verse 13 of chapter 11, it says, "These all died in faith." So true faith, all true faith endures. Looking to Christ, all true faith endures. Seeking Him for a refuge. True faith suffers the loss of Egypt, gladly forsakes Egypt for the treasure and the treasures of the world for the suffering of the saints. Moses is an example of that. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, that he might suffer the afflictions of God's people. So true faith moves and walks through the Red Sea. We are walking through the Red Sea. The Red Sea pictures God's justice, and we are walking on Christ, the solid ground to glory. True faith trusts in Christ as the foundation of our souls. And he says this, that in the end of that chapter, he says that all these obtained a good report. A good report. These believers that kept the faith, they never stopped looking to Christ. Listen, even though they did not receive the promise. They were all promised Christ's coming, and yet we read this, that they did not experience His coming. They believed in it, but they didn't get to see it. And in verse 40, he says, "For God providing some better thing for us." And what's that better thing that God has provided? These saints are all examples of true faith. And everybody that believes, listen, their faith is the same as our faith. What was the faith of Abel? Looking to Christ. What's your faith? Looking to Christ. We trust like Enoch that you cannot please God without faith. Isn't that true? We who believe understand that. And we have the same object of faith as these. Christ. We forsake the things of this world for Christ. And so this better thing, what is it? The better thing is that we enjoy the full revelation of God. We are now experiencing those things that they long to see. They long to see Christ. And yet, what? Christ has come. He has fulfilled all that they testified of. All those types and shadows. This is better than those miracles that they experienced. What we have is better. We have a full revelation of God's promises. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the prophets in times past, hath in these last days spoken to us by who? By His Son. Isn't that better? Isn't that better than lambs and goats and bulls and golden boxes and smoke and All that incense, it's much better. Much better. We have His Son to testify, to speak of. And He says this, that without us they should not be made perfect. In other words, that they apart from us should not be made perfect. He's saying this, that they trusted in Christ even as we do. Their perfection is not any different than our perfection. Their salvation is not any different than our salvation. Theirs was by faith looking to Christ. And our salvation is by faith looking to Christ. Same. It's the same. They're not made perfect without us, apart from us. We all trust in Christ. We all have the same spiritual birth. These saints were chosen, redeemed, and quickened and made partakers of the divine nature just as we are. So now, having seen the true nature of faith, that's what chapter 11 is about, the true nature of faith. One man said this, it's like taking a diamond and putting it up to the light. And as you see the beautiful colors of that diamond, if you were to just turn it a little bit, you're going to see some more color. You're going to see some more brightness. And that's what he did with faith, is he took it to the light and he says, look at this faith. Now let me turn it a little bit. Look at that. And you turn it a little bit more and you see a different aspect. It shows us the true nature of our faith. Now, having shown us this, he begins in chapter 12 and he says this, Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, this is our text, and in this we have three different distinct actions. Duties here, responsibilities to those who come, those that come that are looking to Christ, you that have faith in Christ. And I want you to see three things this morning, especially this. I want you to see, first of all, the race. This race. Paul uses this metaphor of a race. Every believer is engaged in this race. And then we're going to take a look at the spectators. Who are the spectators of this race? What is their purpose? This cloud of witnesses, what is it? They're the spectators of the race. Then I want you to see the race itself. What is the race? What is the course of this race? And then I want you to see how we are to run this race. What is the method by which every believer is to run this race? So first of all, the race that is to be run, he uses this metaphor. Now, he uses many metaphors in Scripture, right? Metaphor of us being soldiers. We're in a warfare. We're engaged in a war. It's a metaphor. You're not actually engaged in physical combat, but it's spiritual. He uses a metaphor of us on a journey. We are journeying through this life. But here he uses this metaphor of a race. And so, the first thing I want you to see in this race, if you were to imagine an Olympic race, because this is the time Paul lived in. He lived in the time of the Olympiad, so he uses many of these illustrations, and this is one of them, a race. So you see this crowd of people gathered for the race. This crowd of people that surrounds the runners as they run this race is a great cloud of witnesses. It alludes to those spectators. Now, those saints whose faith we just read about in chapter 11, who have believed unto the end, those who obtained a good report, listen, they have finished their race. They have finished their course. They are now entered into eternal bliss. But yet their race, that has been recorded for us in Scripture, is for us an encouragement. Isn't that what crowds are? They encourage the runners. They encourage them to endure. And that's what these cloud of witnesses do. See, that as we run the race that is set before us, their record of faith is given to us by the Holy Spirit to encourage us, to cheer us on, to endure. Seeing they have endured, even so must we all endure unto the end. We must endure. Seeing how they have kept, they were kept by God, even in the midst of their weaknesses. Don't you love it how God displayed the history of these men? All of their faults and their weaknesses and their troubles and their cryings and their faintings and their failings are all laid out before us. Why? To encourage us. Because they're no different than us. He leaves them there for that. Go to 1 Thessalonians. We're just going to look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means completely, absolutely sanctify you. In every aspect, set you apart, make you holy, completely, absolutely. That's a good prayer, isn't it? That God make, yes. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless, kept. Believer, who needs to be kept? Who needs to be preserved? Well, I pray God keep you and preserve you, all three of you. Body, soul, and spirit. Until the day of our coming, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is the confidence that Paul had that he would preserve us? What is the confidence that God had that he would wholly sanctify us? What is that purpose? How do you know this, preacher? Look at that in verse 24. Faithful is he. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also, what? What is he going to do? He's going to do it. And over, you remember in Isaiah chapter 9, how he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government's going to be on his shoulders, named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He said, the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. In other words, there is nothing going to stop it. Well, who's going to stop him from wholly sanctifying you, body, soul, and spirit? Nobody. The Lord will do it. The Lord will do it. And this great cloud, those whose record of faith is now cheers us on to glory. How do you suppose they endured to the end? He is faithful. He is. Isn't this their cheering? Isn't this their singing now? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. They're praising Him right now. And that praise echoes in our hearts as we are running our race, as we have not yet finished our course. We have this hope that we shall endure because they endure. And they endured because God was faithful. How will you endure? How will you finish your race? Because God is faithful. Who promised it, He will also do it. How do you suppose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob wandered in the wilderness believing in Christ? How do you think they kept doing that? Not seeing anything but desert their whole life. How do you think they endured? Because God was faithful. How do you suppose David endured, who sinned, whose house was marred by sin and murder and adultery? How do you suppose at his deathbed he said, though my house be not so with God, though my house is ruined, though my sin was great, though my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and what? Sure. These men of faith, they sacrificed, they suffered. the loss of all things for Christ. Even so, they were kept by the power of God through faith unto the end. And now, believer, do these men not cheer you on? They not give you encouragement that if David made it, so will you. Abraham made it, so will you. Isaac made it, so will you. Name one of God's people in the Old Testament that failed to make it. Name one of God's children. There are many pretenders who didn't make it. They weren't even in the race. They weren't even running. And made it because God is faithful, is the power of God. So as we see this race, we see these saints. And so as you read these saints, know that's what they're there for. They're exposed. Their whole life is exposed so that we should be encouraged, strengthened. Secondly, the race. Now, let us look at the race itself. The race here is a metaphor. We who believe in Christ are the runners. And those, this race, this track that is out there has been set. It's been set before us. And those who went before us, who left us a good report through faith, those whose words and actions are meant to encourage us to endure. Now, we are made participants of this race. We didn't stumble into it, did we? Are you accidentally participating in this race? No. This race was purposed. You are a runner in this race because God has called you to it. And how do you begin this race? You begin this race by faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. This is what we were called to. And so you didn't stumble in this. But this race, as Paul says here, was set before us. It was already laid down. The track was laid before you even started running. The track was laid. I like this translation. Let me read this translation to you here. It says, let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence. Listen, the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Believer, the race that we are running was appointed. The race that you are running now is appointed. It was set. The course had already been laid. And each course, the course is so full of hills and valleys. It's so full of obstacles and difficulties. This course is full of joys as well as sorrows. This course is lined with thorns that pierce the soul. The distance of this course is great. It's long. It's hard. It's steep. But I know this that comforts me. It was prepared by God. Everything that has happened in my race was appointed of God. It was set. It was set of God. Now, where is this course taking place? Where is this race that believers are running? It's taking place in this present evil world, isn't it? God doesn't set us on a higher plane and let us run up there. No, we run this race in this present world that is opposed to us, that hates us, that despises us. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. This course we're running is in this world. It's in this world. That's why all the thorns, the sorrows, the difficulties. But I want you to understand that God has given us a map of this course. He's given us light. We're not running in darkness. We've got a light. What is that light? It is the Word of God, isn't it? We've got a map here. All these other runners that ran that course, now, I don't have their particular experiences, do I? But yet I know this, that they ran trusting the Word of God And that's how we're to run this race, trusting the Word of God. And as we run this race, we experience the divine providence of God. How often have you been running this race and you think, well, this course is straight. And all of a sudden, boom, you got to take a right-hand turn. You didn't even know it was coming. That's providence. God's divine providence directs this course whithersoever He will. Jesus said, I pray not that I should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil. In other words, look, where's this course? It's taking place in this world. It's taking place right now. You are running right now. And God's course has directed you to this place. And when you leave here, that course is going to direct you somewhere else. You're going to go out through this world and running this race. That's what you're doing. And we're not going to escape the common troubles of life, nor is this race going to take us from the trials of this life. This course is set in the Word of God, and how are we to run it? Simply this. The Word of God is our rule of faith and practice. You want to know what your rule of faith and practice is? It's the Word of God. That's what it is. How are you going to run this race? According to the Word of God. That's how you should run this race. And as you run this race, I want you to understand it requires great effort. It requires great effort. If you've ever run before, you understand that. If you ever try to jog, you understand it requires effort. And so is this race. It requires effort. Constant straining, relentless endurance, persistence, patience, determination. Paul said this, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. So as we're running this race, we understand it's in this world. It's full of obstacles and trials. And what is it going to take? It's going to take endurance. It's going to take persistence. It's going to take constant dedication to running this race. And so everyone in this race, it's hard, it's full of sorrows and pains, but, here it is, it's ordained of God. This should be your... If you believe in Christ, if you trust God, what did God say? That all things work together for what? You're good. To them that love God, is that you? To them that are called according to His purpose, is that you? Then all things work together in this race for your good. And so, knowing this course is ordained of God should comfort us, should encourage us to keep running. And all of us who believe in Christ, without exception, will finish this. Isn't that good to know? How many times you think you're not going to finish? You will. You will. Why? He is faithful. I'm so glad it didn't say anything about my faithfulness. Because I'll tell you what, I surely would have fainted. It says, He is faithful. He is faithful. This race will not be without suffering and sacrifice, yet none of our suffering and sacrifice adds to it. None of our suffering and sacrifice adds to this salvation. But God has appointed this suffering and sacrifice for our growth. I remember in Pilgrim's Progress, you remember that guy, Ignorance? You had Pilgrim, and Christian, and his friend Hopeful were on the way to Celestial City, and they come across this guy, Ignorance. And, you know, they start asking him questions. Says, how'd you get into this? Where he said, well, I just walked over into it. You know, said, oh, you didn't start at the beginning? You didn't go through the wicked gate, and you didn't have a burden, and didn't fall off of you? What? He said, no, but I'm hoping for the best. You ever run into those people? I'm just hoping for the best. Well, look, you didn't come in through the door. You didn't come in through Christ. You didn't have sin. You didn't have any need of the cross. You didn't have they didn't have the scroll, the promise of God, the covenant. Oh, well, I guess I'm just going to hope for the best. You go your way and I'll go mine. We'll both make it. Ignorant. Ignorance. And they came to that fork in the road. You remember there was a broad way and then there was a narrow way. And Christian and them, you know, they messed up big time. They follow this guy. They end up going in a circle. And finally, these men came and they showed them the way, and they went to the narrow way, and that way was full of difficulty. And then there was a Broadway. Ignorance came to the Broadway, and he said, looked at that narrow way and said, man, that's too rough. I'm going to go this way. See, the believer's course is set by God, and it's rough. It's hard. It's difficult. Believer in Christ, let us not mind our enemy's race. How often do we, running this race, we look over at the wicked and envy them? Well, man, they ain't got no problem. They ain't got no trouble. We all got common troubles, but they're not dealing with these inner troubles we deal with, and we envy them. Paul said, David that said, fret not thyself of evildoers, neither be envious of the workers of iniquity. They're going to be cut down. Don't be envious of these people. So as you're running this race, and it's hard, know this, it's set by God. It's full of trouble. Don't envy the wicked's race. They're not even in this. They have no difficulty because they have no life. But also I want you, as you run this race, to understand this. Don't envy one another's race. Each course is individually set by God. You know, we didn't experience Paul's course, did we? No, the Apostle Paul was a persecutor, hater of the church, and God struck him down off of his horse, and he saw Christ. Anybody have that experience? No. No. Of course, I wasn't put in prison either. He had a lot of other experiences that I didn't have. But I know this, we're not to envy one another's course. Peter did that, didn't he? Remember John? Remember Christ said how Peter's going to die? He said, this is how you're going to die for me. He said, they're going to take you, and they're going to take you a place you don't want to go. And you know what Peter said? He said, what about John? And Jesus said, well, what if I want him to live until I come back? What's that to you? You follow me. You walk your course. You run your race set before you. Don't envy someone else's race. You know, we look at our brother, and he looks like he's so strong, so confident. His race is so easy, and mine is so hard. You know what? If you were enduring his race, you couldn't take it. You probably couldn't take it. Don't envy one another's race. Your race is yours. Your course is set. And so we are not to envy one another's race. Why? This is ordained of God. Remember the whole... And I'm going to bring you back now. This whole book of Hebrews. The whole book of Hebrews has a purpose. It is to encourage troubled believers. These Hebrews were being persecuted. They were being tempted to go back. They were tempted to faint in their race. And so the whole book of Hebrews is set on this. Endure. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. Don't faint when you're chastened of God. It's all about endurance. That's what it's about. Encouraging us. Why? Because only true faith endures. Only true faith endures. You will only receive the promises of God if you endure to the end. Jesus said, they that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. The Spirit of God says, don't quit. Don't let go of Christ. Don't turn back. No matter your trials, no matter how troubled you are, I know this. You are troubled on every side. So am I. You are tried. You are pressed. You are hurt. You are tired. I understand. Don't quit. Endure. Hold fast to Christ with all your soul. Believe on Christ and forsake everything that would hinder you. Forsake the world. The world is trying to bring you from Christ. Satan is trying to pull you from Christ. Your family is trying to pull you from Christ. Your own flesh is trying to pull you from Christ. Don't turn back. In Hebrews 10 and chapter verse 38, he says, the just shall live by faith. Listen, how did you begin this race? By faith. Now, how are you going to run this race? By faith. Well, how are you going to end this race? By faith. The just shall live, endure by faith. But, listen, if any man turn back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You understand that? If any man say he begin this race and then turn back, God says, I don't have any pleasure in that man. But Paul says this. I'm glad this next verse in there. That's really troubling, isn't it? That's troubling. But Paul says, but we are not of them that draw back. If your faith is real, we are not of them that draw back, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I know this race is hard. The valleys are really low. The hills are very steep. The thorns are very sharp. The sorrows and pains are many. The way is long, full of snares. Dragging around this rotting corpse of flesh about our neck. It's tiresome. But we must endure. The Scriptures are clear concerning this. Paul says that Christ made, in Colossians 1, that Christ made peace by the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile us to Himself. You who are aliens and enemies, in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled you. How? It through His flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Who? Who is He going to present? Who is He reconciled? Listen. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which we preached. Therefore, only the elect are called and redeemed and quickened. The elect are given such a faith that will and must endure. Is there anything else you want? I want to endure. True faith does. How many times have you been so pressed out of measure that you can do nothing else but say, I believe, help thou my unbelief. You just don't have anything else. How many times you've been turned, you're confused and you don't know, and the Lord said, will you go away also? And you say, where am I going to go? I've got nowhere to go but you. Faith is always pressed out to turn to Christ. And it always will. It always will. True faith will endure. It always will endure. And so as you're running in this race, you know you must endure. So He gives you some encouragement here as to how to run this race. Look back at your text. Look at this first thing. Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. These ancient Greeks, when they used to run this race, they would strip down. That's just, they didn't want anything at all hindering them from running. That's how they did it. They didn't have any weight whatsoever. And this is what is those before us did, didn't they? Well, how is one to lay aside every weight? Well, let me tell you, there are two ways. First of all, willingly. Second of all, unwillingly. I'm going to show you this. When Abraham offered his son, he did it how? Willingly. Willingly. He laid aside that weight. He did not lean upon Isaac. He leaned upon the Word of God. He trusted God. He despised the reasoning of man and did what God said. He willingly laid aside that weight of unbelief. He laid aside and he believed God. Second way that God does this is that He strips this weight from you. Job. Remember him? Did he ask for that? No. Job had a lot of self-righteousness that needed to be stripped. And God stripped him of it. God took those things, those weights from him. And so it is with us. Sometimes God allows us to willingly set aside these things. And other times He has to remove them and pry them from our hands. Make no mistake, God's people will lay aside every weight. They will. They must. Isn't that just reasonable when running? I mean, when you're running a race. Now, I understand training. When Andrew was running and he wanted to do better, we got him some ankle weights, you know. We put those weights on him and he would go jogging with those ankle weights on, you know. When it comes time for the race, you got to put them back on? No. No. That's what he's telling us. Lay aside the weights. It would be foolish for him to take the weights, and so it is for us. It's foolish to take the affections of the things of time and earth because they hinder us. Where are you going? Where's the end of this race? What's the end? Heaven, isn't it? Isn't that where this finish line is? When we get there, it's done. The race is over. But yet we take the things of earth and time and we set them above Christ. They become a weight. The things that are intended for our joy and for our good. You know, family's a good thing. It is. If you have money, that could be a good thing. It's not an evil thing to have it. The problem is when we take these things and we make them weights and they take precedent over the race. They begin to weigh us down. What do you say? Throw them off. Throw them off. So foolish for set the affections and things above this world. Because we're not going to be here long. We're just not going to be here long. We were chosen for this race. Christ redeemed us. And listen, we've been stripped of the most heavy weights. You know what that is? Sin. We've been stripped of that. Christ took our sins in His own body on the tree and suffered for them, and they are now gone. Gone. The shackles of the law that chained us, the justice of God that condemned us, it is gone. There's no more chain. Don't you see you have free access to God? Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have access to His throne, unchained, unfettered, free. Christ has removed those sins far from us. We who are dead now live unto God. We are made the righteousness of God in Christ. We've been purged of our sins and made accepted in Christ. Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of our hands. Heaven is our inheritance, and yet why is it that we try to take these things back upon ourselves? We try to take these things back upon ourselves. You remember in Pilgrim's Progress that man Little Faith? There's a story of a man, Little Faith. And he fell asleep. He was going his course and he fell asleep. And three robbers came to him. Mistrust and guilt and faint heart. These three men attacked him and clubbed him and robbed him. They took everything except the scroll. He had that. That was secure. That was the only jewel that was left him. But everything else, he was robbed. How often do we faint in the way and are robbed by guilt and mistrust of God's Word? How often are we faint-hearted because we fail to trust God's Word? Trust Christ in this race. These men attack us because we set the things of the world above what the Word of God says. We set our guilt. How often do you think believers feel spiritual feeling guilty?
I mean, I have, yeah. You know that. You feel guilty and you say, oh, I'm so spiritual. I'm so spiritual. I feel so guilty. Why do you feel guilt? Didn't you remove your guilt? You've taken a weight, haven't you? You've taken a weight on yourself. My guilt is gone. Christ bore my guilt, didn't he? It's gone. So you're not trusting Christ. So that's how we're not to set these things. And Peter said this in 2 Peter 3. He said, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought we to be? How ought you to run this race? Seeing the things you're taking on yourself are going to be dissolved. Family, friends, money, jobs. Where's all that going to go? It's going to go away. And so if that stuff, we cast that stuff off, how well could we run? How lighthearted could we run? He said, cast off these weights and lay aside the sin that does so easily beset us. Now, I'll tell you this. I'm going to go through this one really quickly. Sin. John said this, little children, sin not. How many often do we take the weights of our lust, the weights of our desires of the things of this world, and we put them on ourselves? Sin. Lay aside the old man. Put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Listen, this old man is constantly weighing us down, isn't he? He is a weight. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? That's the idea of a rotting corpse about his neck. So while we're running this race, we've got this weight, this corpse. You know what we've got to keep doing? We've got to keep throwing him off. We've got to keep throwing him off. Now, are you ever going to get rid of him? No. No. But the exhortation is clear. Put him off. Put him off. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We are in constant need of putting off the flesh and sin and the old man. But I know this. I want you to see this. Look back at the text. Now read with me again. Lay aside every weight and the sin. Is that plural or singular? It is. Lay off the sin that does so easily beset us. I'm going to put this out there, and I want you to think about this because I believe this is true. Listen, that sin is unbelief. That sin is unbelief. What is the root of all of our sin? Why do you lie? Because you don't believe telling the truth would be good. You don't believe. Why do you steal? Because you don't believe God to provide what you need. It's unbelief is the root of our sins. He said, lay off that root sin of unbelief. Why? Because if you are not believing, you're not running. We run this race by faith, and unbelief is the sin that trips us up. Lay aside your unbelief. If our salvation and endurance in faith, if our salvation and endurance by faith were left up to us to add anything, any works or strength or endurance for our race, we surely would have great cause of unbelief. Isn't that right? If this race was really left up to our power, we'd have great cause for unbelief. But he's saying this, put aside unbelief because you're not going to finish this in your own power. You're going to finish this in the power of God. Isn't that what John says in John 1, chapter 1 and verse, 1 John 1, 5, I think it is. We are kept by the power of God. Every step we run in this race of faith, listen, is by the power of God. You believe this morning? By the power of God. And you'll continue to believe by the power of God. Therefore, throw off what? Unbelief. Throw it off. It's a weight. Seeing our race is purposed of God, seeing Christ
has removed the chains of our sins, seeing the Holy Ghost has given us life and a new nature. Why then doubt? Why then fear? Why do we fail to believe the promises of God who cannot lie? Why should we trust in ourselves, trust in our own strength? I want you to know this. If you're a true believer and you fail, I want you to understand this. He would have to fail. If you're a true believer and you fail, He would have failed. And we know this. He shall not fail. That's my confidence, and I'm going to finish this race. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. Therefore, we who are running shall not fail. Christ said, Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. What was His will? His will was to save us. His will was to redeem us. His will was to justify us. His will was to bring us wholly to Himself. That is the will of God. Therefore, Christ says in John 6, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. This is the will of Him that sent me. All which He had given me, I should lose nothing. As you run by faith, you should keep that in mind. He'll lose nothing. He'll lose nothing. Will you fail? Only if He did. Because my salvation is completely dependent upon His success. Therefore, as we run with all the trouble, with all the trials, all the thorns and snares in our way, endure. Endure. Casting off the weight of sin. Casting off self. Casting off any confidence in this world or yourself. Trust solely in Christ. And you will not fail. Because He cannot fail. He cannot fail. And so then, what is the only remedy for unbelief? Belief. It's the only remedy for it. Isn't that what Paul said? Look at verse 2. Go to your text. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We who believe in Christ know that the Lord Jesus requires full and complete surrender. Isn't that what faith is? Isn't faith full surrender? It is. So what are we to do? When we are in unbelief, what are we to do? Surrender. Surrender. Go to Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to close with this, but I want you to see this. He says in that text, he says, let us run the race with patience set before us. Run with patience, looking to Jesus. Patience. That word patience means endurance. You know that? I think there's one or two times in the book of James that it means quietly waiting. Only one or two times. Everywhere else it means endurance. It's hard. You run this race and it's going to be hard. You ever lift weights? Not easy. It's hard. What does it do? It builds endurance, doesn't it? You lift them enough and pretty soon it'll feel light. What he's telling you. Run this race in endurance. Notice this in Romans chapter 5. Let me get there. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 3. I think it is. He says, not only so, not only glory in being justified and having acceptance with God, we glory in tribulation. Knowing that tribulation worketh what? Endurance. Endurance. And listen, endurance works experience. Now listen, when you endure and you suffer in tribulation, tribulation always is linked to patience. You want patience? It always comes by tribulation. But the end of patience, James said, let patience have her perfect work. You know what the perfect work of patience is? muscle failure. Isn't that the idea of lifting weights? To get to a point where you just that's what endurance does. It brings you to a point of absolute surrender. And then when you reach the patience, guess what? You experience something. What do you experience? You experience the power of God. Isn't that what Paul experienced in 2 Corinthians when he had the thorn in the flesh? He said, remove this thorn. We'll remove this thorn. Remove this thorn. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect when you're flat on the ground. Only then can you see it's my strength and not yours. So as we run this race, we're going to be laid out. And you know what being laid out, it works experience in this. We are totally dependent upon Christ. When you have no strength, who are you trusting in? Looking unto Jesus. Who is the what? The author and the finisher of my faith. We run this race by faith. He began this faith. Listen, He's going to finish it. He's going to finish it. And so the point of this is that believers, we are set. This race that we have a cloud of witnesses, and they're cheering us on, saying, look at what God did for us. He'll do it for you. We endured. You'll endure. And as we run this race, this course has been set by God. Our course, our race. Run your race. How do you run it? How do you begin it? By faith. And during this race, you need to throw off those things that hinder you. You need to run with endurance, determination, zeal, not looking to your strength, but to His. And listen, He is the author and finisher of your faith. Isn't that encouraging that you're not going to, He didn't start this and you finish it? That's religion's idea of this race. Well, you know, He started, but you've got to finish it. Well, I know I've got to finish it, but I'm not the one going to finish it. He is. He is. Let us therefore run with patience the race set before us. Endurance. Looking to who? Looking to Christ. Don't you see that salvation's all in Christ? The beginning, the middle, and the end is always looking to Christ. Always. You in trouble? What do you do? Look to Christ. Cast everything else off. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. I pray God give us grace to do that constantly as we run this race. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Father, I pray You dismiss us with Your blessing. Thank You, Father, for giving us the grace of life and faith in Christ. Thank You for sending Him who bore our sins, removed our sins from us, satisfying Your justice. And Father, thank You for bringing life and faith into our hearts that we may run this race. Lord, it's hard. Have mercy upon us. Give us grace to endure and cast off the things of the world and set Christ as all our hope. And we press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ. Forgive us our sins and where we fail You. I pray You do this for Your own glory. In Christ's name, amen.